Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome again to the Matthew James Medium Hour. We've sort of just got ourselves the first available slot on Blog Talk Radio, which is why it's actually being broadcast at 7 o'clock Australian Eastern Standard Time. And we normally have a Wednesday, or we did have a Thursday last time. My apologies, everyone, again for an hour. I know an hour is really quick. It goes very quickly. I am still trying to get a bit of a longer slot. But on tonight's show, I've got a fantastic guest. I'm actually having a good friend of mine as a guest. She's actually waiting in the background. I'm going to introduce her very shortly. But I just want to do the first little segment of the show where I do a little bit of talk about myself, my website, and the forthcoming shows. And I've got plenty of things in the pipeline, believe me. Okay, I'm Matthew James. Obviously, it's the Matthew James Medium Hour. I just want to say hello to everybody wherever you are, whether you're in Australia, the UK, Europe, America, wherever you're listening to this show. I hope you enjoy this hour. It's just a little snapshot show, really. It's something that's going to be a little bit longer in the future. I'm just still working on the ideas of this show. My website is www.matthewjamesmedium.com. Go over to the website and have a look at the testimonials, have a look at the services that I offer, have a look at the media page, have a look at the Light of Truth Oracle card section, because I do have my own cards called the Light of Truth Oracle, which is all my own artwork. Well, everything, my biography, everything's on that webpage, so please go over and have a look at the webpage. Or join me on Facebook. I've got a public figure page, which is MJ Medium. It's a Matthew James Medium public figure page. Please feel free to actually like us on that page and join in with the comments, the conversations, the quizzes that we do. We have little competitions. I'm offering free video readings, absent video readings. This month's prize, there's always an end of month prize for the top farm. There's always a prize for people who basically are the most consistent doing the psychic test that we actually put on there. So go over to the Matthew James Medium Facebook page. Now, I'm on Australian Psychic TV this Saturday and this Sunday night, and it actually is available through the internet on www.psychictv.com.au. You can actually watch it on a live stream, or if you are in Australia, it's actually on the 4ME channel, which is the free to air, which is, I believe, channel 64, channel 74. So that's Saturday night, and that's Sunday night. You can actually see me in action. I will actually be on the desk, and I also will be taking live calls as well on the phone at the back of the studio. Anybody who's in Burwood in Sydney on Sunday, you can actually catch me at the Burwood RSL. I'm actually at the see if I can describe it right. It's the Halloween Fairy Finn Expo. That is, like I say, at Burwood RSL. I believe it starts about 10 o'clock. It goes on till 6 o'clock. I know I'm doing one-to-one readings there. I'm available there for one-to-one readings. I might be on stage. I don't know yet if there's an available slot. I probably will be doing a live show as well. Right. Final thing I just want to actually advertise before I actually get on with the next segment of the show. I'm going to actually be at the Sydney Mind, Body and Spirit Festival, which commences, it starts Thursday the 31st, which is next Thursday, and it goes through to Sunday the November the 3rd. I'm actually on stall A35, and actually in collaboration with Francis Bevan on his Capricorn Rising stall. I will be doing readings on stall 835, and I will be available the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday. I actually recommend, if you're coming down, whatever day you're coming down, get down early, because I will get extremely busy. It is a well-attended show, and I know that there will be a lot of people in the queue waiting for having readings with me. So that's the Sydney Mind, Body and Spirit on stall A35, which I don't know if the banner says Matthew James Medium or it says Capricorn Rising, but if you head for A35, that's where I will be. Now, we do have our chat room open And I just want to say a quick hi to a few people in there. There's Vicky. Hi, Vicky. I noticed that you're in the chat room. I want to say hi to Sonia Kingston. I want to say hi to Donna as well. And also Chris, my wonderful wife, who's in there. She's doing the monitoring, and she's doing the rounding up of any questions that are in there, and she'll put them on a piece of paper in front of me. We are doing a questions and answers slot on the show. We always do this, and I'm trying to do the theme of mediumship, communication, tarot, symbolism, anything to do with symbolism in the spiritual world this evening. Now, my fantastic guest, who has been commandeered to the show basically yesterday, it was a snap decision. I thought, what am I doing tomorrow night? And I was actually speaking to Narelle on the phone, and Chris was speaking to Narelle on the phone. So we have the wonderful Indigo Tarot and Narelle on the line with us. Hi, Narelle.
Hi, Matthew. Hi, Chris. And hello, everyone listening and in the chat room.
How are you, Narelle?
I'm really well. This week has really flown by. It's been a busy week, but a good week. And, here we are, Friday night already. But, feeling good, feeling good.
Good. Now, you need to let everybody know where your website is, Narelle. I know we've got, a very quick show. It's a short segment.
I won't do it too much because I know everyone wants to get into the very interesting subjects that you've just said you're going to talk about tonight. And,
what's your website, Narelle?
www.indigotarot.net. And that's where you'll find on there where you can see me doing readings and how to contact me and things like that. So love to hear from you.
Excellent. Now, I actually got it down that I was actually going to talk about Golden Rules of Mediumship following on from the last time I actually did this show, but I think I'm actually going to kick that little bit into touch because of the lack of time. So my little bit here is discussion on symbolism and how to interpret symbols received. So I suppose we'll kick off you, Narelle, because I know you're basically a master of the tarot, aren't you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, look, we're always learning, continually learning. So, and I'm happy to share what I know so far with other people. And then if they share with me too, that's fantastic. So I've got a bit of information, yeah.
Okay, so I've just randomly picked a pack of my tarot. I've picked my Merlin tarot up, and the first card I'm looking at is the Emperor, right? So just let's give people a lowdown on, say they're in a reading, right, Narelle, and the Emperor card suddenly appears in their spread. How would you interpret the Emperor card?
Well, usually he's an older man, usually like a fatherly figure. It could be a grandfatherly figure. It could be a boss, or it's sort of a male figure, someone in authority. It also relates to the astrological sign of Aries for me, because if you have a look at him sitting on here, I'm just trying to get the card out of my
head. Yeah, I can see in his little...
The ram's heads and things, from what I recall, the throne, he's sitting on his throne with great authority there, the ram's head. So the energy I feel is around that Aries type energy, quite strong, quite fiery, quite strong mind and strong wills and things like that. He's also holding something in his right hand, which appears like the, the Ankh, is it?
I suppose it's like a short magic wand on
Yeah, so, the symbol of that, I suppose that's the symbol of life as well. He's also wearing a crown, which is that he has a very strong will, but it's also about he has attained mastery. So that's why I say he's this authority figure, because he does... as you're saying, we're mastering some areas of our life or our expertise in what we do in our work and things. So he's sort of got this authority or mastery of certain subjects and things like that. So very, very wise, but very strong-willed, and that's some kind of authority in your life. Or maybe, he talks about maybe you need to step up into that role yourself and, empower yourself in that way, because we all have achieved something, a mastery over something in our lives,
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, because, I could just add that I tend to use the Emperor as, say, a dominant force or a controlling influence, or even in the context if the Emperor card comes out for someone, they're going to get control of a situation or take control of a situation. So I tend to use the Emperor as a controlling force. It's the dominant masculine force. So it's energy, it's drive, it's persistence. It's even down to the hunter-gatherer instinct as well. So it's almost can be the need to take control of finances or get in control of the survival instinct as well.
But in the background, if you look behind the throne there, there's some mountains there. And to me, they represent wisdom and understanding as well. So where it's coming from is of a place of wisdom and understanding. So sometimes, you know, we resist those figures in our life. A lot of people, you know, resent authority figures and things like that. But, you know, sometimes their advice comes from a place of wisdom and understanding. So we have to appreciate that as well. And I was wearing red too, the red robe. So the red's all, you know, quite a strong sort of vibration and energy as well, isn't it? It's also number four card in the numerology of it. It's a four. So that also talks about reality, material stuff, you know, and equality and equally dividing things, you know. So, so he's tough but fair, you know.
That's right. Now, on the other, I suppose, on the other side is, what about the Empress? What about his enduring partner, the Empress?
Oh, you know, what a goddess. What a goddess she is. And I mean, and she, to me, she represents intuition, women's intuition. Just the feminine, really. The feminine version, I guess, of the Emperor. I'm just trying to find her so I can have a close look at the picture in my neck. I can see it in my mind's eye, but looking at all the smaller symbolism that's in the...
Mine's quite a fascinating one in the Merlin, because you've got the Empress figure on a throne, and she's surrounded by wildlife and flowers and peace and tranquility and beauty. Yeah. And it all epitomises to me what the Empress card is all about, which is nurturing life and life nurturing. And the motherhood, the mother instinct, and it's one of my favourite cards in the Merlin Tarot, because 9 times out of 10, if the Empress card comes out, I'm talking about imminent pregnancy, because it's a fertility card as well.
Oh yeah, yep, the High Priestess, and she's also sitting on that throne, and but either side, those pillars, one's black, one's white, but in my card, in the Rider Waite deck, she's also holding a copper or a scroll in her hands, which is the Torah, which is, you know, ancient scripts and ancient information and ancient wisdom there. But also behind her is a curtain, like a curtain or a veil type fabric, and it's sort of like when using your intuition, and a lot of people, you know, the veil between us and the other world is very, very thin sometimes, and especially around this time of year, the Halloween period, that's when the veil is at its thinnest. So it's a brilliant card to talk about around this time of year, actually.
Oh, definitely.
So that's all about, contact with the other world as well, you know, and being very close to spirit and channeling that intuition and that energy. But she also is the number two, which, you know, obviously is about balance, decisions, opposites being, you know, you saw the black and white pillars there and all about partnerships and things like that. So, absolutely feminine and, the creator, the life giver, you know, like you said, it can sometimes...
Okay, here's a challenge, Narelle. Say you got both cards in the same spread. How would you interpret that? Just to let people just... see how quickly you can think on your feet. If you got the Empress and the Emperor in someone's spread, how would you interpret it?
Yeah, well, depending on whereabouts in the spread they were, because a lot of my spreads are about the, you know, timing. So that might be the influence in your life that month, that week, or that day, depending on how I'm doing a 7-day spread or a 12-month spread or 4 weeks or whatever. So they would symbolise that type of energy or that type of person or that type of ability around that time in your life, you know. So it would depend where they were in the spread for the timing, and then of course the other the cards that were appearing other sides, either side of them as well.
Because I'm looking, I've got them both in front of me, and I'm thinking, okay, thinking on my feet, if I got the Empress and I got the Emperor card, I mean, the first thing that would spring to mind would be the lady who would, say, be struggling to have a child and her persistence to want to actually have a child, somebody who's had problems conceiving. They're using the dominance of the emperor to not actually give up, or it's the persistence of the motherhood or the trials of the motherhood. I mean, those are the first things that spring to mind to me if I got those two particular cards together.
Or also the emperor could be the specialist medical person who comes in to help her, you know.
Very true, very true.
In her life, that this person's going to appear in her life, who's going to, with their expertise and their wisdom, and, you know, they have the power to help you, you know.
Very true. I mean, for people, for the audience that's listening, for everybody who's listening, I think the idea that I actually had thinking hitting the ground running this morning and this afternoon with the show was discussing my views and Narelle's views on the tarot, which was like combining your wisdom and your knowledge and experience with mine, and getting people to see for themselves how when those symbols are actually on a table, the varied meanings that it can actually mean. And you've got to actually use the intuition, because you can't just look at the 2D image of the tarot card. You've got to bring an into what that person in front of you is needing from you at the time. And I just think that I know we've not got a long time, Narelle, with this. And I mean, there's heaps of symbolism we could talk about, but I think people can get the basis of the idea from us, can't they?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it is a mixture, the readings, and, you know, the same people can get similar cards on the table for their readings, but it just is different because we interpret them based on their energy and the energy that's coming through and, you know, whatever spirit gives us at the same time to help us interpret these cards. So, you know, there is a textbook meaning for everything, but when you're working with them, it's very different. It's not just a solid black and white answer for every card. There's a lot of other factors, and it's so interesting. I mean, it's infinite, the information.
Well, that's right. Because now let me bring in the moon card as well. So we've got the Empress, we've got the Emperor, and now we've got the moon card.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon card for me, I mean, I always look at the moon card with trepidation. My interpretation is if I've got someone's situation in front of me, do I entirely trust the situation they're in? Do I entirely trust the people that are around them? Is it a situation where there's a bit of betrayal or a delusion going on? This is the sort of feeling I first question with the moon. And then I actually look and I think, is this person being too emotional about a situation, or is there being emotion directed at them? And these are all the questions I tend to ask when the moon card comes in. So what's your take on the moon card, Narelle?
Oh, look, as well, it's things yet to be revealed. There's things hidden under the surface. It's all, I agree with everything you said. But, you know, to me, it talks about deceit. It talks about, look, trust your own intuition. If something sounds or fear doesn't feel right, trust that gut reaction you're having. Because a lot of people go, yeah, you know, I hear what they're saying, but I just feel like I don't have the full story. They're not telling me the whole truth, you know, and there is more to be revealed. And, you know, you get that feeling about someone, yeah, I heard that, but I just feel like there's a bit more to the story, and you're usually right. So I say, whatever you think or your gut feeling is about that situation or about that person, trust it because it's correct, and usually all will be revealed. Everything comes, you know, the truth comes to the surface eventually, and I feel like that's where there's something hidden under the surface from you, whether it's deceit or just lies by omission, you know, maybe not out-and-out lies, but they're just lies by omission, you know, that something is about to be revealed to you, but you kind of knew it on an intuitive level anyway, and it just gets confirmed for you. And obviously, you know, about full moon and lunacy and lunatic.
Oh, God, yeah.
Stuff. But yeah, to talk about the subconscious mind, you know. So again, yeah, the subconscious mind, and there's water in there, so it's all watery and subconscious and emotional and, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. So, and like usually, you know, our subconscious lets us know either through our dreams or some way, that gut feeling, that intuition, or some, you know, physical manifestation that, you know, all is not as it seems on the surface.
That's right. I mean, I've got a scenario here, and I'm just making a scenario up. I'm just literally, this is what I tend to do with students in RHEL. I'll actually come up with a scenario, and I'll say to them, okay, here's a theoretical with the cards. So imagine you've got a client here, right? And the client is a little bit worried about a pregnancy or an imminent pregnancy, and the Emperor represents a very, very strong-willed husband. The Moon card represents her emotional scenario. And this is all enmeshed with a client who really doesn't know how to tell her husband that she's pregnant, or maybe it's a scenario that she's decided that she's not wanted to keep the child and she's trying to actually keep it from the father, or from the father, or even keep it from the husband, say.
Yes, it's about keeping something hidden, and it's usually something emotional, or, you know, it's going to affect someone on an emotional level. Exactly.
You know what's going to happen, don't you? You're going to be doing a reading in the next few weeks. You're going to get the Empress, you're going to get the Emperor, and you're going to get the Moon, and you're going to think, you know something? I was talking about that Friday night with Matthew James. I then want to add another card, right, Narelle, and I'm just going to use the Major Arcana only because the Merlin Tarot, the Minor Arcana ones don't relate to normal suits, because I've got like birds and beasts and serpents. They're completely different suits. But we bring the Judgment card in, right? So let's interpret the Judgment card, right? For me, it actually shows like Moses part in the
Red Sea. Sorry, just looking for it in my deck here before I...
So now we've got the Empress card, we've got the Emperor card, we've got the Moon card, and we've got the Judgment card. And on mine, it actually shows what they call the Weaver Goddess, which is basically Adriana in the Celtic. And it's quite a warlike situation that's really going on as far as the Judgment card is concerned. Now Narelle's just actually dropped out. I think we've got a bit of an internet problem. So what I'm actually going to do, everybody, I'm actually going to take our music break. It is about 7:30 anyway, and I traditionally put a song or two on at the halfway point. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to put a journey song on, a little bit of a quiet journey song, and then I'll get Narelle back, and then we're going to go into more the realms of symbolism and discussing symbolism and maybe getting into actual experiences with clients. So we'll be back in just under 5 minutes, and I'll bring Narelle back onto the show.
soul. And every moment, every breath, I feel it more. The hidden treasure that you kept down deep inside. We make love freely as we watch the mills collide. I live a thousand lives, and everyone I live today.
Listening to the Matthew James Medium Hour. In the guest seat, I've actually got a wonderful Narelle Indigo Tarot. Narelle, I believe we're on Psychic TV together in early December. I was checking the roster only this morning.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah, is that the 7th of December? I think that's a Saturday night.
Yeah, that is right. We're on with Barry as well. Barry, the fantastic Barry Gray from Adelaide. So that's going to be a good night.
We can have our pre-Christmas party, can't we? It'll be a fun night, yeah.
That's right. And it'll be our first time actually together on the show as well. Even though we've known each other for ages, it's the first time on together.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be awesome. So, yeah, and I'll watch you on this weekend when you're on as well. I always do. Wonderful. Always learning. Always learning. It's great to watch you. You do a great job.
You don't do such a bad job yourself, Narelle. You want to realise that... you're really good with the tarot, and this is why I wanted to talk about the tarot this evening. I mean, what's your actual favourite tarot card? And I suppose the other question is that does everybody actually want a tarot spread from you, or do you ever actually not use the tarot?
Quite often I don't use it because I can read psychically or mediumistically as well. So I can do spirit messages as well. But a lot of time the tarot is just part of the, you know, it's the beginning sometimes to get a connection and get the intuition, get the basic foundation, and then we take off from there and spirit takes over, you know. So yeah. Sometimes I, you know, use the tarot to connect. And then off I go, and I find I'm not even looking at the cards I've put down half the time.
I know that one. Because don't you find that you get a lot of clients who won't accept the information from you if there's nothing on the table? Yet you can put some cards out, and they will accept that information from you.
Yes, they feel like, oh, this, you know, you're reading something, or someone else is telling, you know, it's coming from someone other than me, which it always is anyway. Whether we're doing psychometry by holding an item that belongs to somebody, or a photograph, or something like that, you know, there's all sorts of ways of connecting with the energy and connecting with spirit, and tarot cards are just one of them, you know. But I know that clients really enjoy the cards, and they enjoy some of the symbols and the pictures, and some of them are quite scary for people. They go, oh no, what's that one? You know, they get scared sometimes.
Oh, that's right. You only have to see the Aleister Crowley, the Thoth tarot ones, and God, they're pretty scary images.
They're not pretty and soft like some of the angel decks and things like that. So, you know, it's just the way you interpret them and give it. It's not really scary, but some people can get a bit put off by some of these images.
Yeah. Out of interest, the deck that you use, have you got a Ten of Swords?
Okay, I'll get one for you.
What's interesting is I use a deck all the Servants of Light, right? And it's actually weapons instead of swords. And the Ten of Weapons is, unfortunately, or it can represent the actual death of the person. And I'm wondering what the traditional meaning of a Ten of Swords is.
Well, it's an ending, obviously, because it's a ten, so we're at the end of a cycle. We're at the end of a phase, end of a stage, end of a situation, end of a relationship. You know, and that guy's got so many knives in his back, there's no resuscitation.
Well, my Ten of Weapons actually shows a theatrical curtain going down, and there's this horrible symbolic pool of blood, and there's a limb sticking out. In the actual book, it does actually recommend the death of a person, and it is quite a scary card to use. In the very first time round that I went on Psychic TV, I used the Servants of the Light for the very first time. And I was actually dreading that card coming out. And it was the second card that came out on live TV.
Wow.
And I took a little gulp and I went, oh, I see you've got an interest in mediumship, or you should be developing mediumship, because I think you can talk to the dead. And that was my interpretation of it.
Wonderful, I love it. You know, but say you had that next to the Four of Swords, which is sort of all about illness and hospitals, or, you know, that can also represent death or illness, hospitalization, or, you know, bad health and, you know, just run down generally, that kind of thing. So if I get that one and the Ten of Swords, I'm sort of confirmation that the person has passed, or someone is going to pass, or has just passed.
I suppose I'm leading towards you, Narelle, too. That dreaded situation that, right, you've got a client in front of you and you've got some of these negative portent cards, and there's an illness or there's a sickness, or you're picking something up about that your client or one of their relatives. What do you say and how do you say it?
Well, it is difficult. I'm not in the business, you know, I'm not God. I'm not in the business of predicting someone's time or day of death or anything like that. But obviously a lot of clients that come know when death is imminent for someone who has obviously been diagnosed with terminal, and they want to know when. Well, I don't know when. I wouldn't even assume to know that. So that would be my honest response to them, because that's not my role. It's not what I do. I don't have that kind of power or information. But
I know I put you on the spot there, but it's
aware of illness, and like maybe you need to seek professional medical advice about that illness, or about that feeling or that tiredness, or, you know, lack of energy you've had lately. Maybe you need to go and have some tests, you know. But I'm not a medical expert, but that would just signify to me that maybe the person's energy or their general health was not good at the moment, so I would advise them to go and get professional help from a medical person, not from me. I wouldn't seek to diagnose their medical problem, but it would certainly show up that there was one or a concern. But, you know, But the ending of it with the Ten of Swords, I take that as an ending, which it may not mean death, or it's the death of something, but, you know, like the death card, it's not that scary, because to me it's a transformational time. It's all about new beginnings, you know?
That's right. I mean, what I was just basically establishing is you're going to be completely ethical about it. You're going to be very sensible about it. Unlike there are, I know I've heard heaps of horror stories out there of people who say, oh, I can see that your dad's got such and such an illness and he's not going to survive, or I can see that you're going to be dead in 6 months, or you can be dead in 18 months, which is what you don't do as a reader.
Absolutely not. Only God knows, or spirit, or the higher source, whatever you want to call that higher power. They're the only ones who know this, you know.
That's
we
right.
Are human, after all. We're just the channel. We're just the channel. We don't know everything. And
that's
you know,
right.
The knowing and the not knowing, I say to people sometimes. Because
that's right.
We knew everything before it happened. Like, what a boring life we had.
Well, it would be. It would be boring. And if we all contained the same knowledge and we all knew the same things, we'd all be walking around as clones of each other. And wouldn't life be extremely boring?
Absolutely.
Now, what's your favourite deck of tarot, Narelle? Do you have a specific deck that you use all the time?
Well, I use the Rider-Waite deck. That's kind of close to my heart because that's the deck that I kind of cut my teeth on and I trained on and I learned on. So that's sort of like my, you know, my second skin or right arm or whatever you want to call it. So I'm very, very connected to that deck, but I do collect decks. You know, I'm a fiend for that, and I just sell them.
Tell me about it.
I appreciate the art, all that kind of stuff, you know. And usually when I'm looking at decks, thinking about whether I want to buy the deck, I usually look straight at the death card. And if I don't like the death card art image, I usually don't like the deck.
Yeah.
Make it too freaky, you know, sort of thing. So,
Okay, I'm just going to randomly pick another card, right? And this is one where I must admit I want to get into a bit of a discussion for, because I've got my own understanding of this card, and that's the Lover's card. How do you interpret the Lover's card?
Wow, you know, look, it can be about a love relationship, falling in love, being in love, falling in love all over again with the same person, things like that. But it also speaks to me about relationships in general, your relationships with something. It might not be someone, you know. You might have to review your relationship with something. Is it good for you? Is it for your higher good? You know, is it making your life positive or sort of draining you? See, sometimes you have to review or, you know, have a look at your relationship with something, whether it's, you know, your work, a bad habit that you've got, or things like that. Where, you know, how do I have to do I need to disconnect that, you know, or do I need to connect with that more closely? What is my relationship like with, you know, my exercise or health regime? Do I need to connect with that more and not be so negative about it and be positive about it and get out and take that walk at 7 o'clock every morning or whatever? I've got some people have a bad connection or relationship with certain things that are good for them as well as bad for them, and they need to change their perception and the way they look at it and look at that relationship they have with that particular thing or person, you know. So, but yeah, it's a beautiful card, especially if the inquiry is about when will I meet someone, when will I fall in love, those type of things. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be completely controversial here, right? Because when I was researching my own cards and I was going into the Kabbalah level with them, and I've got an equivalent card to the Lovers. I actually start using the Lovers card of the complete opposite, because the traditional meaning, and I don't know if you know it, the traditional meaning of the Lovers is the breaking of the yin and the yang and the separation of the yin and the yang. Mm-hmm. And it's all the reason why there is masculine and there's feminine. And I always tend to use the Lovers card to indicate where there's been something idyllic, or there has been something where you've been in, somebody's been in a relationship for a long time in a comfort zone, that something needs to be changed. That's how I tend to always interpret it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I look at it differently. I see the harmony that the card portrays, And I actually say, because there's an unseen figure in mind, you see, at the back, and it's got its hand on the head of the lady, it's got the hand on the head of the man, and it's like saying, hang on a minute, you don't know this, but something is actually going to disrupt this relationship. And that's how I actually interpret the Lover's card, and it's why I called it my understanding card in the light of truth, because in order to experience happiness, you've got to feel sorrow. So if you're in a relationship that has been completely idyllic and it's been all joyful, well, hey presto, the universe is going to descend a bit of sorrow onto it. That's how I interpret the Lover's card. And vice versa, if you've got a relationship that's been in a rocky patch for a while and the Lover's card appears, I will then say, well, look, there's going to be divine intervention and it's either going to make or break this relationship.
Wow.
So I'm a bit controversial with my Lover's card.
I can relate to it. Thank you. Can I use that line and some of those?
With pleasure. Because at the end of the day,
that's awesome. Thank you.
I'm learning from you, Narelle, because I can't relate to the Rider Waite, and I never have done. I've never been able to read them. I can't do them because I just can't read them. And it really interests me that I'm talking to a good friend of mine who uses them day in, day out, and I'm getting your insights into them.
But yeah, like it's the two phase thing, isn't it? You know, choices to be made, or perhaps, you know, something between the spiritual and the sensual, or a choice between, or the opposites between intuition and reason. You know, it's a double-sided, like you said, and that's, and I love the thing about the divine intervention thing. One way or the other, it can go two ways, you know?
Well, that's right, because, I mean, the way the card works is on the basis that there was one consciousness which basically was neither male or female, and it actually separated for experience.
Mm-hmm.
And to experience, it needed contrast. And in order to experience contrast, it separated its masculine and its feminine.
That's it. And it's all about the duality, isn't it, of every situation that we can get into.
That's right. And a little bit more basis, it represents also, if you look at the Kabbalah, you've got the three pillars of the tree, and the feminine represents the pillar of severity, which is on the left-hand side, and the masculine represents the pillar of mercy, which is the other side of the Kabbalah. And basically, you've got balance. You've got polar opposites balanced. When polar opposites are balanced, they don't learn anything.
No. So you really need sometimes to put your values to the test, don't you?
That's right.
And this card can bring that situation into your life. So, and experiencing all those things that you just discussed. And, it's just getting a lot of insight really about ourselves, isn't it? Mm.
We could do with a 3-hour show, just you and me, Narelle, just discussing each of the tarot cards.
I find it so interesting, and thank you for sharing, everything that you do, because, I'm always learning, and I love learning from you. It's awesome.
I mean, it's reciprocated, Narelle, because we all learn from each other. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
And I hope, if people are listening, that you can help as well. And like anyone who wants to contact me outside the show and share some of their insight, I'm very open to that as well, because I know a lot of your listeners are very intuitive and skillful as well. So I'd love their take on some of these.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you're going to come on other shows, Narelle. I know you will, and we will continue with these tarot discussions. But we've got 10 minutes, and because I want to go out with a song that's probably about 4 minutes. We've got about 5-6 minutes. And there's one card in particular that I really do want to talk about, and I've left the best till last. And that's the Priestess card, or the High Priestess card. That's my personal favourite in all the decks. I love the High Priestess card.
Oh, did we do this one before? I had it in my hand. I don't know why I had it in my hand. I thought
we did the Empress, but we didn't do the Priestess.
Oh, I see. Okay, we did two. All right, sorry. I thought we did the Emperor and the High Priestess before, or did I do it the other way around? Sorry, I'm going bonkers. But
the priestess for me, anybody who's had a reading with Nida or Narelle, and the priestess comes in, they'll see me suck in some air and go, here we have the unexpected. Here we have the eyes of spirit watching you and about to shake things up a little bit and give you a situation or a scenario you did not expect. And that's how I tend to interpret the High Priestess.
She talks about, to me, like spiritual knowledge, esoteric knowledge, spiritual knowledge, and it's how about how I feel. It's not what I know, it's what I feel. And, you know, it's all that mysterious, magical stuff and all those things that are usually partly hidden, you know. And it's closely linked to the moon for me, this one, because it's all about things that are just hidden below the surface and all about that intuitive ability and things like that. So, but it can represent for me, like you said, the duality or the black and white of it. It's all about, you know, can represent deception and truth. You know, they're the two sides of it. So it's all about the unconscious world.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, again, in the Kabbalah, she actually represents Bina, which is the supernal mother. That is the most extreme feminine force. So that's where the clairvoyance is. That's where the seer is. That's where the all-seeing eye is. And I mean, in my particular deck that I'm looking at, the Merlins, I've actually got a hint of spiritual royalty. I've got this red-headed Celtic goddess, like a Morgana or something, and she's sort of partly revealing herself because she's got a dress underneath that's different to her outer cloak. And I always say that this is definitely something that's been revealed that was previously unseeable.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like the veil is about to be lifted, you know, or removed totally around the situation. But the person has the ability to cope with the information that's going to come through as well. It's not like it's going to be so shocking and it'll, you know, you won't be able to cope. It's usually stuff you are well equipped to cope with. So it's not that scary. It's about secrets being revealed. Like you said, yeah.
That's right. That's
she's definitely
right.
A goddess. She's gone from the queen into this major arcana and she's become the goddess. That's right, yeah.
That's right. Now, I've just noticed in the chat room we've got Vicky and she's sort of waiting for an answer. I know she is because she actually posted a question on Facebook and I know we've got barely any time left. So I want to actually just cover Vicky's question and see if we can actually do it in the time remaining. Now, if we do actually go over the hour, everybody, you can still listen to the information in the archives. The transmission might stop, but if you play the archives, we can continue on beyond the hour. So if we go past the hour, listen in the archives, and you know what I'm saying. Anyway, Vicky asked, hope you may cover this on the show, symbolism. I know this will be covered under mediumship, but I was thinking about dreams. When does symbolism begin and stop in dreams? Is everything symbolism or some things we dream just what they are, for example, dreaming about a boat? So she's asking about the symbolism in dreams.
Yes, to me, they're usually quite symbolic. And we interpret those symbols, or sometimes they can be a premonition, and other times they can just be a visit from our loved ones in spirit. They pop in and have a conversation with us, you know.
That's right. I mean, just to answer the question quickly, Narelle, because I think it's a whole question in itself. I think dreams it exists within the subconscious or in a super subconscious level. And it's very much on the same level of the tarot and the tarot symbols. I think we've got a whole library of symbols in our waking life, and I'm pretty certain the subconscious uses dreams as a scenario of getting its way across of this is what's underlying this situation or this is what you should be thinking. And it's normally in the simple terms like the boat or driving the car or watching the tire come off a car or watch. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Depending on your experience with boats, some people have had bad experiences with boats and other people have had wonderful experiences. You either like cruises or you don't, you know.
Well, that's right. That's right.
So it's
obviously a personal thing as well, dreams, because one interpretation of a boat for one person might be different to somebody else. Because if you like boats, you might associate a boat with a happy experience.
Yeah,
but if it's like Chris, who can't stand being on a boat because she gets seasick, then dreaming of a boat might mean something entirely different.
Exactly. And, you know, emotional upset or illness brought about by our emotional state because they're on water. So that's, you know,
To answer your question, Vicky, you've got to base your symbolism on your own life experiences and what you yourself associate with a boat or a car or et cetera, et cetera. Now, we're going to have to cut it short there, Narelle, because we are down to 4 minutes. So I'm going to thank you so much for coming on this very watered-down, very quick version of the show.
Oh, that's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
It was fantastic. We will be doing a much longer show on tarot and symbolism and discussing tarot and going into the complexities of tarot with Narelle in the near future. I'll make that as one of our conversations with spirit specials, which I've got planned, because I've got a few people lined up that I want to do special shows with, where it's going to be conversations with Narelle, or it's going to be conversations with Alex, or it's going to be conversations with Gail. It's that sort of shows that we're going to be putting on. So I'm going to thank you so much, Narelle. I'm going to thank everybody for listening this evening. I know it's been last minute with it being on a Friday night, but I'm sure people will have got a lot out of this show. I actually want to go out with a Santana song, Just Feel Better. It's actually got Steven Tyler of Aerosmith on vocals, and I will catch everybody next time. Come on, work. There we go. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the show this evening. It was a bit of an impromptu show this week because I couldn't have my normal slot. But please watch out for my other show, which is Conversations with Spirit, which is normally on a Tuesday morning, Australian Eastern Standard Time, between about 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. It will be running in about 2 weeks' time. I'm unfortunately not going to be able to do the show this Tuesday because I'll actually be on the road, so I will not be able to do it. But the following week I will, And I will be having a special guest on who's been on the show before. I know he's back from holiday, so I'm pretty sure that I will be having a brilliant medium on. Watch out for future shows of the Matthew James Medium Hour as well. There will be one in 2 weeks' time as well. So until next time, everybody, listening to the Matthew James Medium Hour.
Thanks for tuning in to Matthew James Medium. You can contact Matthew anytime by logging on to www.matthewjamesmedium.com. Until next week, goodbye.